Would you like for us to post information about your congregation on the Find a Church page of our website? We'll add your church when it becomes part of the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your church's mission or advertising budget. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 at issuesetc.org. Click support and publicize your congregation to the world.
It's amazing when Scripture presents the picture of the church as one. That is one thing you can't deny about the nature of the body of Christ. It is one body. But nowadays, we appear to know better. We can divide the body up into various classifications, into various categories. Demographics, really, what we're talking about. One of the major ways we divide up the body of Christ today is by age. We simply segregate congregations by age. We have children's church. We have youth groups. Now, it's not that we don't recognize the distinctions here, but is there a problem when we assign particular, quote-unquote, ministries to those particular demographics? And what's at stake? We're going to be talking about pastors, youth, and forgiveness for the next half hour of Issues Etc. Pastor Hans Feeney joins us. He's pastor of River of Life Lutheran Church in Shanahan, Illinois. He's creator of the Lutheran Satire YouTube channel, and he's author of an article in a recent edition of Higher Things magazine titled "An Everybody Pastor." Hans, welcome to Issues Etc.
Thank you very much. I'm very happy to be here.
You say you get the heebie-jeebies when you hear the term, and this is a very common term nowadays, youth pastor. Why?
Yeah. Well, you know, I think a lot of it sort of goes back to when I was in high school. When I was in high school during lunchtime, I would notice every once in a while kind of an older guy, seemed to be mid-20s, who would come into the cafeteria, and he'd sit down with a bunch of the kids who went to what was kind of, we didn't really have a mega church in my town, but the big sort of happening church that most of the kids in my school would go to. So he'd sit down with a bunch of kids from that of that high school age and talk to them. And it seemed like almost every year there was kind of a new guy who was coming in doing this, so there was sort of this revolving door of youth pastors that they were having there. And it always just sort of seemed strange to me. And as I've kind of gone on, and when I was first going to be going to the seminary, and I would tell people in my hometown about it, and their first reaction would be to ask if I was going to be a youth pastor. It always struck me as when you add that sort of qualifying word on there of youth pastor, you're ultimately giving people the impression that you're really only a pastor to a specific group of people in the congregation. And really when you look at ultimately the responsibilities, the scriptural requirements of the office and the duties that are set forth before the men whom God calls to be his under-shepherds, that can ultimately really come to be a problematic thing. So I think that's really why it is that whenever I hear the term, even though I don't think there's intrinsically anything wrong with it, the way that it is oftentimes practiced and practiced poorly in a way that gives people a false understanding of what the office of the ministry is all about, that's really why it is that it gives me the heebie-jeebies.
And just as a kind of a clarification here, you are not saying that there shouldn't be something such as youth ministry, but maybe we need to rethink how we do that.
Right, yeah. I suppose to kind of summarize the article, I would start off by saying, that I'm not certainly categorically opposed to the sort of the concept of a youth pastor. But certainly we recognize, Lutherans have always recognized that by human authority, not by God's ordaining, but by human authority, we are free to kind of create various distinctions in the church. I mean, even kind of historically in the church, you know, you found this with the concept of bishops. For example, in the power and primacy of the Pope, the Reformers talk about how it is that it is certainly a historical fact that these distinctions existed, but that they existed by human right and for the sake of good order in the church. Well, I think in the same way, it's perfectly consistent with our confession of faith that if you have a congregation perhaps you have so many members that a pastor can't really do everything that he really needs to do, that you bring on another pastor. And if it happens to be that one pastor is really able to teach the gospel to people of a certain age, if he's able to kind of understand the way that perhaps younger minds function a bit better than the other pastor, then that's certainly a good and wonderful way to break up those duties. I mean, it really would be a lot like if you look at the idea of chanting. Well, you know, in chanting in a service is ultimately meant to elevate the proclamation of the gospel through music. And if you have one pastor who does that very well and another pastor who does it terribly, you obviously don't want the pastor who can't chant well to do it, because it's actually going to prevent people from hearing a clear proclamation of the gospel. So in the same way, when it comes to teaching people who are of youth age, whatever age that you want that to be, generally kind of middle school to high school age, if you have one pastor who does that, who kind of has gifts in that area that make him able to do that better than the other pastor, then that's certainly a good and great sort of division of responsibilities to do. However, where I think it really becomes a big problem is in a situation where I think unfortunately, by and large, this tends to be the more of the rule rather than the exception to the rule, is you have a situation where a pastor says, all right, I'm overworked, I have too much stuff, and I can't do it all, we need to bring in another pastor. Everyone in the congregation knows that this is the situation. They know why the new pastor is coming on, is the senior pastor can't do everything. And then all of a sudden the youth see that this new pastor who comes on, well, he doesn't preach all that often. He maybe preaches once a month. He never is going to be preaching on Christmas Eve, you know, Easter Sunday, kind of the bigger days of the church year as they would recognize them. He's not the one who's leading elders' meetings, things of this nature. But now that it's the new pastor who comes along, is the one who ultimately is taking them on youth trips, teaching confirmation, and the senior pastor doesn't do those things anymore. And ultimately, the impression I fear that gives is that there's really kind of two categories of pastors here that sort of use a high school sports metaphor, that you're dealing with the varsity pastor and the junior varsity pastor, and the senior pastor would be the varsity pastor who does kind of the really important stuff, and the junior varsity pastor does the stuff that's not as important. And if you happen to fall into the category of stuff that's not as important, it's very hard to avoid giving youth the impression that if their pastor is the junior varsity shepherd, that they aren't somehow the junior varsity sheep.
So what's the solution here? We can talk about other cases, and we will in a few minutes.
Sure.
Other cases of the church's tendency to segregate and therefore to send the wrong message from shepherd to sheep. But what's the solution here in terms of serving youth with the forgiveness of sins?
Yeah, I think ultimately, obviously, that's what the pastoral office is. I mean, so as much as you can kind of talk about division of duties, that and how it is that we're free in the gospel to sort of divide up, you know, various duties in the way that I've kind of been talking about. At the same time, what we're not free in the gospel to do is to turn the office of the ministry into something that it's not, and into something that's foreign or contrary to what Christ instituted. So ultimately, the job of every pastor, regardless of what his specific title may be, the ultimate job of a pastor, you know, as we learn in John chapter 20, when Jesus appears to the disciples on the day of the resurrection, and says, if you forgive the sin, he breathes out the Holy Spirit upon them and says, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of anyone, they are forgiven. If you withhold forgiveness from anyone, it is withheld. That's ultimately the core of what the pastoral office is all about. And so I think when it comes to sort of putting this into a good practice, it should always be first and foremost on the minds of both pastors, certainly pastors as well as leadership of a congregation, to make sure that they're always emphasizing in everything that they're asking their pastors to do that this is ultimately their job. You know, so for example, I don't know how frequently this happens. I certainly hope it's not very frequent, at least in our Lutheran circles. But if a person of any age ever comes into a church, you're a member of a congregation, you come in, you have a sin that you feel the need to confess, and you happen to not be a youth, the youth pastor is there, that person ought to recognize that this man is my pastor. He's been sent by God to forgive my sins, and I should be able to lay just this immense weight of my conscience upon him, and know that he's not going to judge me, but rather that he's going to speak the word of absolution, regardless of if he's the pastor I normally see most frequently or if he's the pastor my daughter sees most frequently, and vice versa. Likewise, I think it's good for if it's a matter of a senior pastor, always, even if he's not the one who's perhaps, say, going on a youth trip, that he's always taking the time and making the effort to be present in there, present in some way, shape, or form, always involved ultimately in the lives of every sort of age demographic in the congregation, even if it's, you know, even if the ratio isn't necessarily 50-50, but always always ultimately to be giving the impression that the pastor who may focus more on youth things, that the youth are never going to outgrow him, that there's never going to become a moment when he's no longer their pastor, as long as he's there at the congregation. And likewise, to always avoid giving the impression that for really ultimately everyone else in the congregation, everyone who's not a youth, that that this other pastor, this youth pastor, is in fact accountable for their souls, and that they owe him the same obedience and respect that they owe to the senior pastor as one who has been charged to feed them with the bread of life.
We're talking about pastors, youth, and forgiveness. Pastor Hans Feeney is our guest. You can read a blog post that he has written titled "An Everybody Pastor" under the Listen On Demand page at our website, issuesetc.org. When we come back, I'm curious, is it a chicken egg thing here? Have we changed the way we think about what a pastor's for, from forgiveness to all these specialized ministries, because we've changed the way we think about pastors? Or has the specialization, so popular in churches today, of the pastor's ministry led us to change the way we think about pastors? Chicken or egg, when we come back. Issues Etc., a regular guest, Pastor Stephen Parks, on why your congregation should join the Issues Etc. 300.
If I could, I'd just like to challenge any Lutheran pastors that are listening to consider becoming one of the congregations that supports Issues Etc. My own congregation is a very small church, and I know it can be difficult to try and budget $1,000 a year to become one of the Issues Etc. 300. But if you're being blessed by this, as I know you are, and if your congregation is being blessed by this, as I know that it is, I submit to bring it to the congregation to prayerfully consider supporting the outreach of Issues Etc., not only here in the United States, but also around the world. Thank you so much for what you do.
Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your congregation's mission or advertising budget. Simply go to the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc. The Issues Etc. 300.
The cross is always relevant. You're listening to Issues Etc.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Hi, this is Pastor Dan Kistler of Our Savior's Lutheran Church in Pacifica, California. A small congregation on the Pacific Coast just south of San Francisco, we invite you to join us as we receive Christ's gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation that He won for us on the cross and now delivers to us through His Word, baptism, and the Lord's Supper. For more information about us or for free downloadable sermons, visit our website at oursaviorspacifica.com. God's peace be with you always in our Savior, Jesus Christ.
Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's Tuesday afternoon, June the 7th. We're talking with Pastor Hans Feeney, pastor of River of Life Lutheran Church in Shanahan, Illinois, and creator of the Lutheran Satire YouTube channel, author of an article in a recent edition of Higher Things magazine titled "An Everybody Pastor," about pastors, youth, and forgiveness. Our call-in number 1-877-623-6943. Send us a tweet at IssuesETC or an email, talkback@issuesetc.org. In about 10 minutes, hour two of Issues Etc., Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morse will join us for the first few minutes to talk about the impact of fathers on culture. Then we'll discuss a New York Times column on religion and sex, a little quiz with some peculiar answers, see if they bear up under the light of comparison to what the Bible actually teaches about human sexuality. Dr. Joel Bierman of Concordia Seminary in St. Louis will be our guest. Pastor Feeney, which is it, the chicken or the egg? Have we changed the way we think about the pastoral office and what it's here for, why Christ has given it, and therefore invented all these specialized ministries? Or did we invent the specialized ministries, which resulted in a change the way we think about what pastors are for?
Yeah, you know, that's a good question. There, I suppose there's probably a little bit of both in those, though I would say that overall it's ultimately really does go back to a fundamental change in our understanding of what the office of the ministry is really all about, what ultimately the tasks of the ministry are, and ultimately where the authority to be a pastor comes from. What I mean by that is, you know, if you look at, for example, in 1 Timothy chapter 3, when the Apostle Paul is talking to Timothy about the qualifications for bishops, for overseers, essentially for pastors, Paul gives this kind of this long list of things that pastors are required to be. This is something that was pointed out to me by my vicarage supervisor in Terre Haute, Indiana. And it's, I think, a very valuable point that if you look at that whole list, it's basically a whole bunch of absences of vice. So in other words, he's not to be an alcoholic, not to be abusive, a philanderer. But there's actually only one qualification there, and that is the ability to teach. Ultimately, if a man is to be a pastor, that's essentially the one skill, the one talent that he needs to have. That's always a good point for people to remember, but I think oftentimes where people can go off base is when they ultimately start adding sort of more skills and abilities onto that. So in other words, where people come to see that a pastor is a pastor, let me put it this way, that people should see that the reason their pastor is a pastor, the reason that, you know, Pastor Meyer is pastor of their congregation, is because God himself called that man to be a pastor there and placed him to be a pastor there, so that the authority of his call is actually rooted in the Word of God. What oftentimes happens, though, and I think this has probably come in through a long history of influence among Reform and Evangelicals who don't have quite the same biblical understanding of the call that we do, is people have come to understand that the reason your pastor is a pastor isn't so much because God himself has actually called him, but rather it's because this guy knows theology than the rest of us. I'm sure most pastors have heard this at some point in their ministry. It's where people will basically say, well, we should listen to the pastor because he went to the seminary and he knows this stuff. Now, those are certainly good reasons to listen to your pastor, and those things are true. But actually, the reason why it is that you should listen to your pastor is because God himself placed that man there for you to listen to. I think when people get the wrong understanding of that, and when they understand that you are a pastor because of talents and abilities that you have, they then feel justified in sort of dividing up, the ministry and kind of sectioning off demographics within the ministry based upon that. So in other words, if you can find a pastor who has very strong leadership skills, very strong organizational skills, then he should be the senior pastor because he has those talents. Likewise, if you can find someone who's very, say, gifted musically, who's able to connect with youth kind of across the lines, across generational lines, then because of those skills and talents, that's what should make him a youth pastor. And in all of those things, ultimately, what we really tend to lose sight of is that it's actually the call of God himself. that is what ultimately gives a pastor his authority. And that's ultimately why it is that if I belong to a congregation that has a senior pastor and a youth pastor, and I walk into that congregation and I need some sort of pastoral care, that I ought to expect it from both men, and that both men are actually required from God Almighty to give that pastoral care to me properly, because of the fact that their call is ultimately rooted in the authority of God's word and not based upon some kind of talent. So it's not as though a youth pastor could say, well, I'm not really that good at dealing with elders' meetings, so I don't really need to worry about the elders. And likewise, the senior pastor can say, well, I'm not really so good at dealing with youth, so therefore I don't need to worry about the youth. Well, in fact, they are accountable to both. By virtue of the call of God. So I think ultimately it's that change in understanding that the authority of and understanding the authority of the call. When you understand that the authority comes from God Himself, you don't feel you're not so quick to divvy up the ministry into 4,000 different categories. But when you understand when your theology is telling you that the authority of the call comes from a man's own talents and abilities and strength, that's really where you kind of end up getting a situation that's become fairly common.
Well, here's my concern, and it would be a concern even if it didn't really happen, but it does really happen, and it happens a lot. You end up with not just a senior pastor or a youth pastor, but you end up with your senior pastor sitting at his desk or in meetings all day long, and he's meeting with boards and planning committees and things like that. That's what he's doing. The youth pastor is, what, speed-dialing dominoes and counting volleyballs in the church gym.
Right.
The music pastor is rehearsing the praise band. The who knows what outreach pastor is out there canvassing the community, trying to figure out where to build a coffee shop. Maybe he's taking barista training. Who knows? Nobody in the darn church is doing the forgiveness job, and it does happen, Pastor Feeney. It happens all the time. Talk about that with about a minute and a half.
Yeah, I think that. That ultimately, when you divide up the ministry in ways of that nature, what you ultimately teach is that really the gospel itself is something that can be divided up in a million different ways. So that it applies to you sort of differently at different points in life, which really loses sight of the fact that it is ultimately the forgiveness of sins, the proclamation of Christ's death upon the cross, His resurrection, His glorious ascension to sit at the right hand of the Father and declare us all to be innocent of our transgressions on account of that. That's ultimately what we lose sight of when you divide the ministry up into a million different categories like this. I suppose if I were to just put it real simply, I think I've often said this before, and I say this recognizing that there are very many good and faithful pastors who have various titles in front of their names, even if it's youth pastor. I have a good number of friends who have been called into situations like that. The great thing to avoid is ultimately in your congregation, if you are not a pastor to everybody, you're ultimately going to be seen as a pastor to nobody. And that's ultimately the thing that you want to avoid, is giving people the impression that in some way, shape, or form, this man does not have the full counsel of God behind him, and he doesn't have the full authority of the Son of God coming forth out of his mouth, both in his call to bind the sins of the unrepentant and ultimately the chief work, which is to forgive the sins of those who do repent.
Pastor Feeney, before we let you go, and with only about 30 seconds, tell us a little bit about the Lutheran Satire YouTube channel.
Sure. Lutheran Satire is a project I kind of began a little while ago. It's mostly been animated videos using a software called Extra Normal that folks can download if they want to go to that website. Basically, the goal of Lutheran Satire is it's rooted in the belief that we remember things that we laugh at, and ultimately that humor is a great way to teach people things. So ultimately, when it comes to the Christian faith, learning the blessed doctrine of the apostles, that one of the best ways we can learn that doctrine is actually to find humor and ultimately to attack false doctrine through that use of humor. So the motto of Lutheran Satire is teach the faith by making fun of stuff.
Folks, you'll find a link to the Lutheran Satire YouTube channel at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Pastor Hans Feeney is pastor of River of Life Lutheran Church in Shanahan, Illinois, creator of the Lutheran Satire YouTube channel and author of an article in a recent edition of Higher Things magazine titled An Everybody Pastor. Thanks for being our guest, Hans.
It has been my great pleasure.
Folks, we are 24 days away from July 1st, when many congregations are going to begin a new fiscal year. That means it's a great time right now, even at the last minute, to ask your congregation to become part of our congregational sponsorship program. We call it the Issues Etc. 300. Go to our website today, issuesetc.org. Click support. There you'll find a one-page flyer that you can download and print off. Take it to your congregation before July 1st. Ask them to join the Issues Etc. 300. When we come back, hour two of Issues Etc. this Tuesday afternoon, June the 7th, Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morris will talk with us about fathers and culture. Then we'll talk about a religion sex quiz in the New York Times with Dr. Joel Bierman.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.